Thinking your chronic back pain was caused by an old sports injury? You could be painfully wrong. It might be an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. Stay tuned, because later in the show, we'll tell you more. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome to Roughing the Passer Podcast. Will Brinson, Pete Prisco. I'm waving my arms as if we could teach you a week, but we can't, because it's for radio. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Search for Roughing the Passer. Pete, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm stupendous. I'm in the middle of a juice cleanse. I didn't mention this to you before while we were getting ready, but I'm doing a little in-season diet. I'm not really a training camp guy, Pete. I like to get in shape as the season goes along.
I got a good way to lose about 16, 17 pounds. Get sick for a month, like I did.
Oh yeah, that's right. You were perpetually drained, right?
Oh, it was brutal. But I'm back now. I'm back.
This has been Pete's Colon Hour, presented by.
You're doing it. They don't want to talk. They don't want us talking about your juice cleanse. But I'm just curious. Why the hell are you doing that?
I just want to take a nice little week and clear out. It's not juice cleanse.
For a week.
What's that?
You're not going to eat for a week.
No. It comes with. It's got a food. It's just a cleanse. You get no booze, no caffeine. Just kind of no sugars. Just refresh the system a little bit.
So when do you drink the smoothies that cleanse you out?
I get one. It's Humdinger juice in Raleigh. And I get one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and then I get two other meals. It's really not that bad. You're a little hungry, a little cranky. The coffee's a problem. I'd like to have a beer right now, but it is what it is.
When did you start it?
Yesterday. So not very fun. I watched Monday Night Football. I watched Carson Wentz while on this juice cleanse. I was actually felt like I was kind of in tune. Although the game itself was not that exciting. The Bears are horrible. Jay Cutler could miss some time with a sprained thumb. More importantly, though, are you buying or selling Carson Wentz after 2 weeks of dominating bad defenses?
Well, I'll say this. I did break him down last week after his first game, and they made it really simple for him. It wasn't complicated, but the kid is big. He's strong. He's tough. He stands in. He's got a good arm. The next step is when he's got to face a defense that's going to throw a bunch of different stuff at him. Not different stuff, but good players at him. And the Bears had stuff early in the game they were throwing at him, and it was confusing him a little bit. But then everybody got hurt. Yeah. They didn't have any bodies. It's like, when you don't have any bodies, you can't do a lot of different things. You got to limit what you could do. So I think this week against Pittsburgh will be a really good test for him. The Steelers are better on defense. They're not great on defense, but they're better on defense. So I think this week will be a good test. But he's much, much, much more advanced than I thought he would be playing right away. Bite my tongue, right? I called you Nick. It was the right decision to play him.
Absolutely. Look, the Eagles, two wins out of the gates, and look, it's against the Browns and the Bears, but he looked great. That man, I tell you what, the throws, the two touchdown passes from week one, the one to Aguilar and one to Matthews, and then the should have been touchdown that Jordan Matthews dropped last night on Monday night. I mean, the guy's got the throws. I'm a little worried that he's being a little too physical while he's running, though.
He's also been too cautious. I think he's too cautious, and you got to let it rip in the middle of the field. Think about the last two games. Do you remember any plays where he let it rip in the middle of the field? There was a couple, not many.
Well, they're doing the stuff. They're getting him out on the edge and bootlegging him and moving around. It's simplifying it.
I'm going to say, as impressed as I've been with Carson Wentz, I'm even more impressed with Doug Peterson.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he had never called a full game in his career in terms of offensive play calling until week one, and he looks, you talk about a quarterback looks the part. Well, Doug Peterson looks the part on the sideline.
He looks fantastic. But the game, the way he calls the game, I like it. Aside from some of the things he does when he has Sproles and Matthews, and they get a little too cute sometimes, but I think he's done a great job calling the game. Wentz has been very good, but we're losing sight of what's going on the other side of the football.
Mm-hmm.
Give Jim Schwartz a lot of credit. They went to the wide nine, they up the field, aggressive defense, and guys seem to fit it, and they like it, and they're much better on defense.
They got a lot. They re-signed Brandon Graham, they re-signed Fletcher Cox. You know, they shipped Byron Maxwell out. They traded Eric Rowe in the offseason. Jalen Mills got smoked once by Alshon Jeffrey. But, I mean, if for a seventh-round pick, looks pretty good out there. They got a ton of talent on that defensive side of the ball. Is that the second-best team, the Eagles' second-best team in that division?
Well, yeah, the third team has Kirk Cousins on it. No, they're not the second-best team. The Cowboys will be.
Okay. All right, so are the Eagles – I mean, the Fighting Cousins are the worst team in the
division.
They're
the worst. They're the worst team because he's the worst quarterback.
Well, he's the fifth, maybe the sixth worst quarterback in the division. We'll get to that in a minute. The Bears, is there any reason to consider the Bears? Do they have any hope moving forward?
No, but they're going to have to reevaluate what they're doing there too. I mean, if this is 2 years in a row with John Fox, and I know they're in a rebuild mode because they got a lot of young players, but they, you know, that's a bad football team right now.
Yeah, like they don't. They have Alshon Jeffrey, and that's it. I mean, and he's a franchise tag guy. I mean, offensive. Like I thought, Jordan Turner looked. Is it Turner? Yeah, Jordan Turner looked like the best runner out there. I mean, Jeremy Langford's not impressive, and they don't. Kyle Long's a nice, you know, a very nice player on the line, and Josh Sitton is a former All Pro, but they just don't have a lot out there in terms of offense.
But here's something to think about, particularly as we get ready for Thursday night. They pushed the heck out of the Texans in the opening week down in Houston.
They did. But let me ask, what is your opinion of the Texans right now?
Beat two teams at home. I mean, you're supposed to win those games and didn't win them in convincing fashion. So it's a little bit of a concern for me.
Really?
I like what I've seen from their defense. I think
Clowney looks awesome.
And Watt's getting back to being Watt again. You know, it took him a while. It took him one game at least. Now he's back.
He was Watt against the Chiefs. I mean, he was disrupting the pocket, and he had a sack and a fumble recovery, or two sacks and a fumble recovery.
The guy who's really improved, and I saw this at the end of last
year. Merciless?
No, McKinney.
Oh yeah, yeah. He did blitz at the middle. He's made a bunch of
McKinney's gotten a lot better. I think, you know, when you look at the secondary, I think Kevin Johnson's good. I think Joseph is good. You know, you go to the back end, and Andre Howe's been a nice addition, playing him at free safety. They're good on defense. They got players. I wonder if Will Fork will hold up. He has a tendency to get really heavy, and he's also not. I didn't think he played that well last year, and I haven't watched. I'm going to watch the tape this week against Kansas City and see how he did, but. He does anchor in against the run, and that helps free those guys up to get to the football.
Well, see, I think that's mainly what he did against Kansas City. It was just occupy blockers. And he's big enough to do that. Like, he doesn't have to be a disruptive force in the middle when you got Clowney and Watt and Merciless.
But last year, I thought he got moved, too, off the ball. I mean, people blocked him last year, particularly early in the season. So it'll be interesting to see if he holds up. And this week is an interesting game because, you know, you're going to New England. Don't get your fatigues out. Don't get the Army fatigues out.
Don't wear those Letterman jackets.
Yeah, or the Letterman jackets.
God, that was humiliating.
Don't bring those out. I remember when they brought those out and they lost in the it was a big regular season game. Remember,
it was 2012, I think.
It was a Monday night game.
Yeah,
right?
and the Texans were rolling. I think it was
they thought they were really good. They got the Letterman jackets, and then they play them? If I remember correctly, they played them again later in the playoffs that year.
Yes, and
I remember I was in the locker room because they won their playoff game, and I was in the locker room, and I went around asking guys if they were going to pull out the old Letterman jacket again. And they were getting mad at me.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. That was like the biggest, like Texas high school move of all time to show up in Letterman jackets and act like.
Yeah, I remember asking Antonio Smith about it, and he nearly wanted to like drop me right there on the spot. He's such a nice guy; he wouldn't do it, but he was laughing.
What about this Texans offense? Because I noticed I just rewatched the game earlier today, and I noticed that there is a lot of good in Brock Osweiler. He does a lot of stuff, and I'm gonna write something about this. Basically, the addition of Will Fuller and the addition of Brock Osweiler gives the Texans a vertical element that they didn't have last year.
Well, more than that, Will, it's they're faster.
Sure. Yeah, totally. And look, Lamar Miller's an upgrade.
Him and Lamar Miller and Braxton Miller even. And, Hopkins almost, dare I say, it looks slower compared to the other guys.
He looks slower. You're right. He looks slower than he did last year because he's not
the only guy.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. He's not a burner. He's a
great player, and he's not a burner. But those guys can fly. Lamar Miller's fast. People forget that. He's a fast running back. I mean, yeah, and that was something that showed up last year for the Texans was lack of speed.
Yeah.
And you got to give them credit. They went out and got Fuller. They went out and got Miller. They went out and got Lamar Miller, Braxton Miller, Lamar Miller, and they're faster. So I give them a lot of credit. And, you know, it just depends. Now we're going to find out about Osweiler. You're home, two games against two bad teams or two okay teams. Now you go on the road and play Belichick. And Belichick, have a little something for you.
Yeah, and look, but I say the good of Brock Osweiler is they stretch the field. The bad of Brock Osweiler is, I mean, he had two interceptions. One was not necessarily his fault. DeAndre Hopkins tried to make an incredible one-handed catch, and it bounced into Marcus Peters' hands. But then the other one was just a horrible interception early, and I think that sort of it doesn't look like their line is protecting particularly well. All the time. And so for a guy like Brock Osweiler, who, you know, is a little bit ganglier, maybe that's tougher. And he's had some bad throws in there. Some what are you doing throws? And that's kind of a concern, especially if you're going against Belichick. The Texans are favored in that Thursday night game, by the way.
They are favored.
2.5 points.
Well, because Jacoby Brissett is
my guy, Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah. You know, look, all he wants to do is run around. I mean, that was evident when he got in there. But it'll be interesting to see what he does when he has time to prepare. And it's not a lot of time. I mean, this is going to be a tough week for the young kid because you're playing, you know, in 3 days. That's hard to prepare. It's hard for a veteran quarterback to prepare that way. So,
well, and let's not forget, too, that the defensive coordinator here, or coming to town, Romeo Crennel for the Texans, you know, I mean, like you got Bill O'Brien and Romeo Crennel know some things about how Bill Belichick might prepare.
Well, Bill Belichick knows some things.
Of course. Sure he does.
Romeo Crennel too. Let's not forget that. Josh McDaniels, who, by the way, I think Josh, and you're going to think I'm crazy for saying this, but because as much as I ripped him when he was the head coach of the Broncos, I think Josh McDaniels is going to be a hell of a head coach the next time around.
I don't disagree with you. And I thought the very telling, because they asked me to do a, you know, who is this Jacoby Brissett guy? Because I watched him a lot in college, because he played at NC State, and I thought it was really smart what Josh McDaniels did. You know, you see even some of the big, like he's not going to throw downfield at all. You know, I mean, maybe a little bit against the Texans. I wouldn't expect much. I mean, but like even the big plays, a 38-yard gain to Martellus Bennett, all it was a load up the right side. Make it look like you're going to run LeGarrette Blount, and then you have Bennett leak out to the left on a crossing route, and he's right there on play action. And then they did a couple, you know, like a double fake screen that picked up some big yardage to Bennett. Very creative stuff designed by Josh McDaniels on the fly, built in for a young quarterback like that. I thought that was very smart.
They'll figure out things this week. They're going to win that game.
I think, look, if I'm taking the Patriots. I think the Texans are a legit team and a legit AFC contender. But I'm taking the Patriots because I'll take Bill Belichick at home as an underdog all day. I think I looked at it. So 2014, you remember they were it was a pick'em when the Bengals came to town after that Chiefs game and everybody wanted Brady. It was, oh, you're gonna bench Brady? We said, oh, we're on to Cincinnati. Well, they were pick'em then and blew the Bengals out, and then there were dogs at home later that year against the Broncos, and they took care of business too.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pick against the Patriots in that game. I don't care who plays quarterback.
No, Patriots is dogs at home. You got to jump all over that. I like the Texans. And we'll touch on that game a little bit. Well, actually, you know, we'll preview it. I guess we're previewing it now. So anything else you're looking for from the Texans and Patriots since we basically covered all those angles? Because the
New England line blocks. I mean, they're not exactly, you know, big time athletes and big time players on that offensive line. I'm curious to see how they block against that front,
because they have to be able to run the ball to win that game, right? I mean, because Jacoby Brissett's not. I mean, it's either going to be a rock fight if they're going to win, or they're going to run the ball effectively to win, because Brissett's not going to carry them offensively.
You'll be surprised what they do with him. They'll scheme up.
I think he'll do some nice things, but he's not going to be winging the ball 50 yards down the field every time.
No, but he'll take some shots. They're not going to be scared. The one thing about it, you got skins on the wall, you don't play scared. I don't care who your quarterback is. That's the advantage he has.
That's true. And you got two wins in a division. I saw our buddy Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News. Wrote that the Jets will be in first place in the AFC East by the time Tom Brady returns. What say you that?
The Jets will be in first place.
Yeah.
They're not going to beat the Chiefs this week.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And then they got the Seahawks.
And that's in New York?
Yeah, it's in New York, but they still got
the Seahawks can't score. The quarterback's become ordinary because he can't run.
Mm. So, all right, well, let's talk about that. You picked the Rams to win that game, right?
No, I picked the Seahawks.
Did you really? Oh, man.
But the Rams to cover. I had a bad week picking games last week.
I went 12-3 against the spread last week. Not bad.
Yeah, well, that means you'll come back to reality this week.
This is the reality check that popped up. I picked the Rams to win. They just give Russell Wilson and the Seahawks trouble, and Russell's hobbled. They can't do anything, and there's no Marshawn Lynch to lean on. Thomas Rawls he's banged up. He hadn't looked effective. Christy Michael's been their best runner, but he fumbled at the end of the game. Are you buying or selling the Seahawks do you think the Seahawks, any this early season Seahawks panic is real, or is it similar to last year and they'll figure it out as they go along?
They'll figure it out. They're too good on defense not to figure it out. And eventually Cable will get that offensive line playing better. The offensive line's been a disaster, but
sure.
But I want to go back to the quarterback.
Okay. Talk to me about what is Russell Wilson doing now that you have a lot of time to rant against Russell Wilson?
I haven't watched the tape from last week yet, but what happened from just watching the TV tape is that the guy can't move. I mean, he's hurt.
Got a high ankle sprain.
But he can play in the pocket. And what you saw the other day was pretty simplified stuff. Made a couple throws down the field, but you know he's ordinary when he can just has to be forced. His moving around is makes him great or not great, makes him good.
So can I write a story about this podcast and say Prisco, Russell Wilson, quote ordinary end quote without his feet.
You can do what you want with it. That's why I said it all. I said it the other day. He's ordinary without his ability to get outside the pocket. If he has to play there on a consistent basis, he's ordinary. He doesn't see the field great. He still made a couple good throws from the pocket the other day, but he doesn't see the field great. It's not going to be very pretty. He's when he moves, he's good, really good. He gets outside. He keeps his head up. He makes throws. But I think he's ordinary inside the pocket. Whatever you want, Brinson. He's ordinary in the pocket.
Well, I mean, he's shorter, and they have a bad offensive line. I mean, maybe he'll be a bit ordinary for a little while. And he's got an ankle sprain.
He's above the line. That's part of the problem.
Well, he's also getting the pressure.
His line is, but it's always been that way. His line is woeful.
It is woeful. They get rid of everybody.
Tom Cable take the heat for that too? Every year we hear, oh God, look at Tom Cable. Look, fix it.
Make it chicken. Salad out of chicken something. Another offensive line and another very popular young quarterback drafted in the same year as Russell Wilson got beat up this weekend. Andrew Luck and the Colts. Andrew Luck, according to Pro Football Focus, who we have, I think, we have their access to their stats now, which I know you're excited about.
I like their stats.
I love their stats. It's great. I like being able to check them out. Andrew Luck pressured on 55% of his dropbacks. Do you think that right now, is this more a symptom of the Denver Broncos defense being great, or is this more a symptom of, Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson should be worried?
It's, Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson should be worried, but I think they'll get better. There's another team that'll get better on the offensive line as the season moves along. You got a rookie center.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough it's tough for him. Things can be overwhelming, and he's going to be a good player, so. The right side concerns me. Good at right guard, reads at right tackle. They concern me. But the Broncos get after it now. I mean, you know, those guys.
55% of his dropbacks. That's crazy. He's just under fire the whole time.
They cover well and they rush. That's a bad combination for the quarterback. You're going to hold the ball at times. You're going to get hit. And, you know, that's the thing. Von Miller, people forget he only had 11 sacks last year during the regular season. I mean, he's got 4 already in 2 games. I mean,
he's taking his postseason and extrapolating it into the regular
season. That's 9 in the last 4 games for him.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Count the postseason. It was 2.5, 2.5, and then 1-3. He's got 9 in the last 4 games. The guy's a beast, man. And the value is there. They gave him that contract. They should have given him that contract. Two people get contracts, that guy and the quarterbacks. That's who you pay.
That's right. All right, we're going to talk about some quarterbacks. But first, football is back. And SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest place of the year. And with SeatGeek, It's never been easier to get to the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek, the best thing about SeatGeek, Pete, is that there's an app. Apps are crucial. Apps are crucial. Like, I've quit doing anything in my browser because it's just the apps are so much easier. It's just a native processing for it. And SeatGeek searches all the other ticket sites to get you the best prices. And if you use SeatGeek now, if you go to SeatGeek, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and add a promo code. And if you enter the promo code PASSER, PASSER, SeatGeek will send you $20 courtesy of me and Pete. That's $10 from me and $10 from Pete, basically. When you make your first ticket purchase, download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code PASSER today. You might even get to join me and Pete at our Earth, Wind & Fire reunion concert. All right, Pete, I want to talk to you about some quarterbacks. I'm going to ask you if these you got some quarterbacks. Should we be concerned about these quarterbacks?
Go ahead.
First of all, should we be concerned about Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Why not?
Should we be concerned about the design of the offense?
This is a coaching thing?
They have to start bunching up people and run crossers and picks and rubs and everything else. Everything they do is ISO routes. And that was all well and good when Jordy Nelson could run by people and stretch the field and put pressure to cover them with a double over the top and then opens things up in the middle. But Jordy Nelson doesn't run that well anymore yet. He's still coming back off that knee injury. He doesn't scare you down the field, and nobody needs to double anybody. So I think that nobody's getting open. And I'm going to watch that tape today too. But the first game, I watched the Packers game, the Jaguars game last week. They didn't win a lot. The Jaguars secondary, which had all kinds of problems against the Chargers, covered them. And they blanketed them for a lot of that game. And so, to me, that's the concern. He's holding the ball. He's pulling the ball. He's double-clutching. And guys aren't getting open. And they got to start doing scheming up ways to get them open because they're not good enough to win.
Should we be worried about Blake Bortles?
In situations where they fall behind, yes. And I said I did the radio show in Jacksonville Monday night, and this is something I noticed too is – couple things. First, his delivery's gotten elongated again. And you know, I argued that with people, but I think, you know, I was on the practice field this summer, and I was standing with Mark Brunell, the former Jaguars quarterback, and he said, look, I tell to Brunell, I go, his delivery's longer again. He said, it is. And people argued with me, and they said, no, it's the same. But if you go back and watch him, his delivery's longer, and that's always the concerns. The mechanics have deteriorated a little bit, too. He needs to get back to his fundamentals. But more than that, when they fall behind, he has the mentality that he has to get it all back in two plays. You know, they're down 14-0. You can't play that way. If a smart quarterback brings his guys in, he says, okay, we're regrouping. We're going to drive this ball down the field. We're going to cut the lead in half. We don't have to get it all at once. Bortles has a tendency to kind of get a little of that, let's get it now, and that leads to mistakes. So I think he's got to be better in that situation. But panic time, though.
Okay, everybody out there, this is not a quarterback, but it relates to Blake Bortles. Everyone out there, I have Allen Robinson in a few leagues. And everybody I know, like everybody I know that has Allen Robinson is like, what's going on with Allen Robinson?
He got covered.
I know, but Jason Verrett locked him down. So you're not worried about Allen Robinson at all?
No, he got covered. He got a really, 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 really talented corner who didn't get the due he deserves coming into the season. Was in my top 100, in it pretty good.
What number was Verrett in yours?
I forget, but he was up there. But Verrett locked him down. And Verrett, you know, Allen Robinson, if you're an elite receiver, you can't get locked down like that. But then a lot of receivers again. What's Beckham done so far?
He dropped a big touchdown pass to cover.
He had 8 for 80-something yesterday or Sunday. That 10 yards of catch isn't good enough for Beckham.
No, not at all. I'm trying to look.
While we're talking about quarterbacks –
Verrett was 70 in your list. That's good. You know he wasn't even on that top 100 for NFL Network either.
Well, some of us actually watch the tape. You know that.
should we be worried about Kirk Cousins?
Absolutely. Absolutely should be worried about it. This is exactly why the Redskins didn't give him a long-term contract extension. Nor should they have. I wouldn't have. Make him play it out. See what you got, Kirk. This is your money time, buddy. And you know, the interception, bad interception. Bad interception. But you know what was even the worst one last week? You know, I think there's been 4 red zone interceptions this year in the NFL, and he's thrown 2 of them. But the one last week in the middle of the field against the Steelers, there was a guy wide open on the top for a touchdown, and he never even looked there. He just forced the ball into the middle. I think he's panicked at times. He misses open throws. He's not accurate. It's unbelievable. He's the leading completion percentage guy last year in the NFL, and he's not accurate.
He's like over 63% or something right now. And
his passes are always behind guys and in front of guys. I don't know. Yes, the Redskins should be very worried about Kirk Cousins. Plus, they're going to go play a good Giants defense in New York this week, go to 0-3, and you could start digging the hole and throwing him in.
Where would you rank him in the list? I mentioned this like half jokingly earlier, but is he the sixth best quarterback in the NFC East? He's behind Eli.
Well, he's sixth best in terms of who you would take. Now, I mean, but okay. He's not better than Romo when Romo's healthy and on the field. He's not better than Eli Manning when Eli Manning's on the field.
Dak?
He's not. Well, he might be as good as Dak, but you wouldn't take him over Dak. I'd take Dak.
Yeah. Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz? No. And who's the other one we're missing?
Let's see. Eli, Romo, Wentz, Dak. That would be five. I mean, the only Ryan Nassib and Chase Daniel would be your options.
I'd take him over those two.
Okay. But he looks – it's two home games. I know the Steelers are good. You lose them, it's one thing. You lose the Cowboys at home like that, especially that interception late. That's bad. I mean, that's bad football.
You know what's amazing is that you look at his numbers, and he threw for over 350 yards, and he completed passes to 10 different guys, had one touchdown and one pick, and you look at it and you go, boy, not a really good, decent game, pretty good game for the quarterback. And then you watched it, and you're like, oh, my gosh, he missed Crowder, which should have been a touchdown. He missed Josh Dotson, was wide open, and he couldn't get him the ball, and he tripped over himself and caught it for a long play, but didn't get a touchdown. Threw that interception when he had no pressure. All he had to do, it was a bad route. I mean, the concept was bad. The design was bad, but he panicked. He could have run. He could have walked in almost for a touchdown. He panicked and threw the football. And so, to me, yeah, there's definitely cause for concern in Washington.
All right, two more quickly. Should we be worried about Phillip Rivers because he's losing all of his weapons?
Well, yeah, but he'll go to Indianapolis this week and throw it all over the place.
I mean, he lit up the Jaguars. Good God.
Well, he gets the ball out of his hands. He's smart. They know how to run. There's a team that knows how to run picks and rubs and everything else, and they know how to get guys open. So, yeah, it's unfair. I mean, you hate to see that for a guy like Phillip Rivers, but you don't have to worry about it. He's still going to be a heck of a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it just stinks because I really do think this Chargers team has had the look of a potential playoff team. They're 1-1 through 2 weeks. They should have beaten the Chiefs, and then you lose your best wide receiver in Keenan Allen. You lose your for the season to an ACL, and then you lose the very next week. Really, your most, I don't want to call him the most valuable weapon, but like the most, whatever you want to call it, Danny Woodhead. I mean, the guy just picks up tons of receptions, has, you know, carries the ball, is just a really, really underrated weapon. You lose him the week after that. If Melvin Gordon can stay healthy and run the ball like he has the first 2 weeks, and if Travis Benjamin can step up, and Antonio Gates and Hunter Henry, then the Chargers are still good, but that's a dagger to lose your first two weapons like that.
It's tough. It's tough. But at least his offensive line's healthy and playing better than it did a year ago.
That's true. And should we be worried about Tony Romo's job security?
No.
I heard Deion Sanders and LaDainian Tomlinson both say that Jerry Jones will keep Dak Prescott in there if they're winning when Tony comes back.
He guy hasn't even thrown a touchdown pass yet. I mean, he hasn't thrown an interception, but he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass yet. That tells you one thing. He's not taking the shots.
That's a fair point. Okay, so that's actually all we've got.
I know we have a special guest on this podcast today.
Yes, we do.
I want to say something about the special guest.
We have Matt Ryan coming up, and we're going to talk to him in 1 second. What do you want to say about Matt Ryan?
Get off his back, people.
He's the leading he leads the league in passer rating right now.
They went to Oakland and he shredded the Raiders.
Yeah.
And not that that's hard to do because everybody's – the first two games have been awful for the Raiders defense. But Matt Ryan is significantly better than people give him credit for. I've been saying it for a long time. The guy, if he had a defense around him, he'd be a heck of a quarterback. It's hard to play quarterback in the NFL when your defense isn't great and your offensive line isn't fantastic. So give him a lot of credit. He was fantastic last week against the Raiders.
All right, great stuff this week, Pete. We'll be back next week. People can subscribe to iTunes. Let's go talk to Matt Ryan.
Hey, sports fans. If you're like me, you love a pickup basketball game or a round of golf with your friends. And maybe you thought an awkward jump shot or a few ugly swings were causing your chronic back pain. Truth is, you could be painfully wrong. Because if your back pain started before age 40 and has lasted longer than 3 months, it could point to an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. To learn if your symptoms could signal AS, take a short quiz at asbackpainquiz.com. Then talk to your doctor. Find out if you could be painfully wrong. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Thanks for taking the time. So first of all, huge win for you guys. It was an odd place to see you guys win, not because it wasn't at home, but because you were playing on a baseball field. It just doesn't seem like the sort of place where you and Julio were going to get the offense going, and yet you did. What managed to click so well for you in week two?
Well, you know, the biggest thing was we were able to create some big explosive plays for us to kind of turn the field position and we made some timely plays and came up with some big pass plays, did a good job in the run game to wear out the defensive line and then made some throws over the top. So pretty consistent effort across the board for us.
In general, you were playing extremely well this year, I believe, for the top-rated passer in the NFL, which is always a good thing after 2 weeks. I think a lot of people probably people didn't have high expectations maybe for this offense, and yet you seem to be clicking in year two of Kyle Shanahan's system. Is it really sort of a it kind of takes time to get used to it type of thing that's going on here?
Yeah, I think it does take time. You know, obviously when you change systems, there's an adjustment period, and we did some good things last year for sure. But we're a little bit inconsistent, at certain times. And I think we've all improved, and are much more comfortable within the system this year. I feel like we've got a talented group of guys on the offensive side of the ball, and, we've got a confident crew, but you know, it's early. You know, we've done okay the first 2 weeks and just need to keep getting better and focus on playing even better this week.
Do you worry that Julio Jones with his, because I know I think he's dealing with an ankle injury right now. Is there any sense of like, hey, let's make sure this, we don't want to put foot to the pedal with this guy because we know how important he is to this offense. Is there any of that at all? Or do you kind of have to just keep throwing him out there and of course he doesn't want to come off the field.
Yeah. I mean, he's such a great competitor. So, I mean, anytime he has the opportunity to go, he wants to. You know, obviously, our coaches and training staff do a great job and work with him all the time. So, and he does a great job. I mean, he takes care of his body really well. So, we'll see how it shakes out, but I expect him to continue to be a huge part of what we're doing.
One of the hallmarks of Kyle's offense, as it feels like, has always been kind of focusing in on one featured running back. And you know, he does the same thing with the X receiver, it seemed like. But this year, a little bit different. And I know 17 carries for Devonta Freeman, 12 carries for Tevin Coleman. And Coleman was pretty active in the passing game the first 2 weeks as well. Is this a thing where you guys are actively attempting to really split the carries and split the workload? Is that something intentional? Is it just kind of happening because you have two talented guys? What's the deal there with the running backs?
Yeah, I think we just have two really talented guys, and you know, that's a good thing in this league. It's an important position to have depth at, and we're lucky that we do. Those guys have played extremely well the first couple of weeks, and I expect for both of them to have big years for us and to just continue to keep getting better.
Is Mohamed Sanu, where does he fall in terms of underrated wide receivers in this league? You know, he got a big contract from you guys, but it seems like he is – you know, Roddy was such a force on the opposite side with Julio for so long, and to bring Mohamed in there, and he's a very different, he's a very complimentary receiver to Julio, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he fits well within our scheme and what we're doing. He's a physical guy, can play on the outside. You can also move him into the slot, does a great job in the slot for us. Is physical in the run game, which is great for our run scheme. You know, we ask our wide receivers to get involved in blocking schemes, and he does a great job with that. So I think he's been a great addition for us.
Is this the most weapons you've ever, most diverse set of weapons you've ever had? I don't know if you can top the trio of Tony Gonzalez, Roddy, and Julio at one time. But I mean, it seems like you've got a deeper set of weapons than you ever had before.
Yeah, I've been lucky throughout my career. You know, I've played with a lot of really great players. And you mentioned those three guys before, Roddy, you know, and Tony and Julio. That was a good bunch. We had Michael Turner in the backfield. Yeah. We had a good, you know, good core group of guys. But I like our team now, too. I think we've got some talented guys, some young guys. I think we're deep. I think we can go into, you know, 3, 4, 5 wide receivers deep and be comfortable with our guys. Same thing at the tight end position. So I like our offense right now.
I believe you're doing work with Dannon, yes? And that, and some healthy help. I mentioned before we started going that I've got a young one, 2.5. He ate his first Oreo today, so that's exciting. That's not nearly as exciting as if we get him to eat some freaking yogurt, though. Any tips, advice you got for keeping my kid healthy?
Yeah, for sure. Load up on the Danimals, that's for sure. But I've been lucky enough to partner up with them. And they've got a great program going right now. They're teaming up with Fuel Up to Play 60, which is an NFL initiative and keeping kids active, teaching them, healthy habits in their diet. And so as part of the program, they're setting up an opportunity for 5 kids across the country to have an NFL player come to their school if they're lucky enough to win it and have kind of a, fun field day with an NFL player, which is pretty cool. I mean, if I were that age and somebody was coming to my school, it'd be, pretty unreal. So it's exciting and fun to be a part of it. It's kind of got a Willy Wonka feel to it, too. They've got golden bongos hidden in different Danimal packages. So, if you find one of them, you're going to bring an NFL player to the school. So it's a pretty cool initiative and fun to be a part of it.
That's cool. Let me ask you this. You were a rookie quarterback who stepped in right away and played at a high level. And this year is stunning to me. I know you're busy with your own team, but it's stunning to me because this week we're probably going to have, I think it's going to be Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, Jacoby Brissett, and also Cody Kessler, 4 rookie quarterbacks starting. Do you think that it has become easier for quarterbacks to do that? And because some of these guys, Carson Wentz, 600 career attempts at the FCS level, and he's having success right away. Dak Prescott, a 4th round pick. Do you think it's become an easier transition for NFL players because of the current setup in the NFL?
I don't know if it's easier. I think these guys are good players and have come in and do a good job. I got to watch some of the Monday night game last night and watch Carson Wentz play, and he looked good. Played well and played tough. And, I think Doug Peterson's done a good job with him of kind of, letting him play, get comfortable, and going out there and making some plays. So I'm not sure it's easier, but I think those guys have certainly done a great job.
Is it maybe more situational then? Because, it almost feels like you look at where these guys landed, like Josh McDaniels and Jacoby Brissett, Doug, like you said, Doug Peterson, the way Carson Wentz is making great throws, and he should have had more yardage if Jordan Matthews hadn't dropped that touchdown. But it feels like these guys are really being set up to succeed. Maybe it's more situational than anything.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's nothing wrong, even with being a veteran player to be in good positions, I think their coaches have done a good job with them. That's for sure early on and getting those guys going.
All right, Matt. Well, hey, look, I really appreciate the time and thanks for speaking with us, and good luck in the coming weeks.
All right. Thanks, Will. Take care.